wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. And I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects. I am bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ear to His word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area, and it is making me more and more like the Lord Jesus, in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That is your portion today in Jesus' name.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit will give you insight as the word of God comes forth right now in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right, let's take our seats. The Lord is good. Last time we were talking about total faith. Remember that? And we brought that to an end. But this discussion of faith hasn't ended. I have many other things to say. Yeah, the series was getting too long, so let's put an interruption. So the one I want to talk about today now, we'll begin today to talk about the pursuit and the use of faith. Very important, the pursuit and the use of faith. There are two things I want to accomplish by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's my expectation. Number one is to let us understand how really we acquire faith, how faith becomes a part of us. Now, last time we were talking about it, it would be surprising that I actually didn't dig into that in details until towards the end, and we had to bring that series to a close. Now, one of the most important things I have learned in recent times, and I'm trying to get people to understand, is that faith is not a method. Faith is not a set of methods that we use to get something. Faith is literally a spiritually tangible quantity which can increase in size or volume in your heart, or can deplete. Faith is not a method. The things that people do as a result of their faith is, like I said, a result of the presence of faith in their heart. If faith is in their heart, it will get its result. If faith is in their heart, it will do what it's supposed to do. If faith is present in the hearts of people, all right, there are things that come out of it spontaneously and naturally. There are things that will happen. For example, Paul said, we having the same spirit of faith. What happens? We believe, therefore, we speak. So when you believe something, it affects how you talk. That the spirit of faith in you causes you to believe. And when you believe, you talk in a particular way. Are you getting my point? For example, if my wife is passing and you say to me that, do you know that woman? You know, what's the first thing I would do? I won't say yes. I will look at you first. Are you getting my point? I won't just spontaneously say, yes, I do. The first thing I'll do is to pause, look at who's asking. Next question is, why are you asking? The idea of yes doesn't pop out of my mouth. Why? I am so convinced, I'm surprised you didn't feel the conviction. So I'm beginning to wonder what is the matter with you. What I'm trying to say. So you see, the conviction, the knowledge produces a particular reaction. It is not as if husbands react like this when people ask, is that your wife? No. It's just that I'm amazed that how come you are in Jerusalem and you do not know who has been marrying who? Are you getting my point? You know, those are the kind of things that's what faith is. So if it is present, it does its thing. And many of the things that don't happen are the result of the fact that faith is not present. You are getting my point. You know, one of the things I've learned in recent times, you know, in fact, a brother, something led to it. We're discussing on the phone and we're chatting actually. So money matters came up in an area. So I told him, please, excuse me yet first. He said, why? And I said, what I need to do is to increase my faith. I didn't say I need more money. I don't know whether you're getting my point. I said, my faith has not reached that level to handle this thing. So please, for now, let me go. Excuse me from this financial involvement. What's my reason? I said, I need to build more faith. I have realized that the problem is not money, the problem is faith. The other time, I gave an example. I said, listen, if you find yourself falling ill more frequently than before, it's not the virus, it's your faith. If you're a married man, you're a married woman, suddenly you and your husband, you're quarreling. You and your wife, you're quarreling more than you used to. It's your faith. These are signs and symptoms of a hidden disorder inside the heart. Many times people want to solve marital problems. They'll be giving methods. You know, I hate marriage books. That I wrote one is an amazement. Not because there's something wrong with talking about marriage. I mean, Peter talked about it. Paul talked about it. The Bible talks about marriage. Solomon talks about it. It is just that many of the things you read, they are senseless, spiritually speaking. Tell you how to make sure your wife doesn't get angry. Like I give as an illustration all the time, how not to forget her birthday. I'm not saying she forgets your wife's birthday. Actually, the best way to make sure you don't forget your wife's birthday is to forget it once. Her reaction will make sure you don't forget it again. The Lord is good. I told her I forgot my wife's birthday once. And it was very interesting. You know what's interesting about it? We went to church and my wife was taking an announcement that day in church. And I was looking, why is he so well dressed? I don't know whether I get the point. I said, why is this woman looking so nice like this? She was wearing a beautiful dress, you know, hair well set, makeup in order, everything, jewelry. Ah! I said, now, wow, see, babe, what did they have? You know, I still did not get it. It was a lady, another lady in church, that we had a small dealing, so I needed to write a check for her. So I said, what's today's date? She said, Pastor V, why are you asking me about today's date? So I said, why won't I ask you today's date? I want to write you a check. I can't remember the date. He said, you don't know today's date? I'm like, this girl, tell me today's date. Is this not your wife's birthday? I said, The Lord is good. Don't worry, that was the first time and the last time. Now, you make even Google remind you if you have to. Set them for Google. Google will send you email the day before. Oh boy, you don't wake now tomorrow. The Lord is good. Now, what am I talking about? So many times, we address those symptoms, all right? Meanwhile, they are not the real issues. That's why I'm upset with many of those books. I've read them. I said, this is not what this thing is about. When spirituality is low, it manifests in all kinds of ways. And you want to tackle the manifestations rather than tackling the fact that spiritual substance has gone down. That's what I'm saying. If faith is present, it does its work. And many of the things we talk about in faith, all right, are the natural manifestations. They're not the methods by which we make sure faith is present. Let me say it in summary. Faith is a spiritually tangible substance. And I'm not taking that from the book of Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1. When it says faith is the substance of things hoped for. That's not where I took the word substance from. I'm just looking at the way the Bible talks about faith. He said it can be mixed. That means it's a substance. It said the word heard did not profit them. Why? It was not mixed with faith in their hearts. So faith was supposed to be there when the word will arrive. And the two of them will mix and produce something. So it's something that can be mixed. You are getting my point. He said, O ye of little faith. That means he has quantities. Great is thy faith. So it can expand in volume. Those are the reasons why I came to the conclusion that faith is a spiritually tangible substance. Which means, therefore, we can get some more. Which means, therefore, we had it yesterday, doesn't mean it's present today. Now, those are the realities about it. It means if it's small now, we can get more. Sometimes God gives us what I call volatile faith. Which word now? Inflammable faith. That is, it drops inside you, boom, it does something and it's gone. And that is called the gift of faith. Suddenly something, a strange confidence comes into your heart. And those are the things that God pours into the hearts of people when they have to do great things for him, even if they were not personally prepared for them. So you find Elijah will show up. You think Elijah was a big man. Now lie. What happened was that God pitched, you know, turned the bucket and faith filled his heart. As soon as they finished killing all the prophets, when the brother relaxed, he was back to normal Elijah. And he got a message from, you know what happened. The man disappeared. Jesus just said, oh boy, wait there. Let's see what the man ran away. What does that tell you? The faith he operated just now was not his own. Because if it was his own, he would have stood there and said, the same God that answered by fire is bigger than Jezebel. But by that time, faith don't dream. And that thing about faith, sometimes you use it. Even if it was not the volatile type he had, he consumed a huge volume of it. That's why Jesus would tell the disciples, come aside and rest for a while. You must always replenish. Faith finishes. That's what I want to emphasize. It's a spiritually tangible quantity. You can deplete it. And I know it vaporizes also. So a man has faith today, even if he doesn't do anything, after a while, his level of faith in his heart goes down. And this is the bad side of it. He does not even realize it. He doesn't even realize it. And I want to teach Christians again. Of course, these are things we'll go over again and again. How to keep the level of faith high. When we're talking about total faith, I talk about the ambience of faith so that we are careful that we don't hang around an atmosphere where faith depletes, where people's faith, lack of faith around, all right, just sucks the little inside your heart. We have to be careful. We have to be careful that we don't just lose it recklessly. But my emphasis in this series, the one we're beginning today, it will be a short one, won't be very long. Hopefully 2 or 3 we should be done, or maximum 4, I hope, all right? Let's see how it goes, all right? I just want to discuss how do we fetch it? How do we keep the tap flowing? Because if it's inside the heart, all right, it works. I made this there. I gave an example earlier. You start falling sick anyhow. You wake up in the morning, headache. 2 days later, it's diarrhea. 4 days later, you know, your eye is paining you. Then you start coughing. And what happened? I think it's a kata. You know, my nose, my head, everything. Only you in 2 weeks. I used to be very healthy. It's not the virus. They say, I think it's stress. Stress depleted your faith. It's not the stress itself. Because when Peter sank, the Lord Jesus told him, it was not because of the waves. It was because of your own doubt. That is, the spiritual state of the man's heart decides how environmental things affect him. I mean, you don't know whether you're getting my point. So, fuel is scarce. Jesus said, it shouldn't affect your life if your faith is at the right level. Power is not constant. It shouldn't affect your life if your faith is at the right level. They haven't paid wages in a long time. It should not affect your life if your faith is at the right level. That is the amount of, all right, now the amount of effect these things have on us, Jesus says simply, when he was talking to Peter, is not the power of those things in themselves, is how much faith is inside our hearts. Are you getting my point? That's what I want to talk about. But I want to start today by talking about that use of faith. Remember, I talked about the what? The pursuit and the use. That use is where I'm going to start from. Because sometimes we get the point wrongly. What God is trying to do in our hearts by faith, because that is using faith, we get the purpose wrongly. Yesterday, my wife and I had a long talk. And when you are talking and your wife's face is like this and asking questions, just know what you are discussing is deep. My wife said, explain again. And she'll squeeze her face like this. I said, no, let me get you right. I said, this one is hard. So today I must be very slow. If somebody has heard you for almost 20 years, he's getting confused. Are you getting my point? All right. Now, you see, I'm going to start from that. Now, maybe we should start from here. Open your Bibles to the book of Hebrews chapter 11. And I'm going to read plenty. Even though I will try and be fast. Or because I'm going to read plenty, I will try and be fast. So that we can still save time. David Pawson said he likes to read a long portion of the Bible when he wants to teach. You know his reason? He said, so that no matter the nonsense he says afterwards, the people will have been blessed hearing the true word of God. That's David Pawson's theory. So his own is that he will read a long portion, then when he's done, he can say anything he likes. Even if it's all wrong, you heard the word of God in the first person. The book of Hebrews chapter 11. I'm going to read almost the whole chapter. My Bible is the New American Standard, and I'm going to read quite a long one. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. This is what faith does. It assures you of things, and it gives you a conviction of things that you do not see. Now, just by the way, if you read my book, Great Faith Can Be Yours, I explain the difference between assurance of things hoped for. Hope is an expectation. All right? Things that have not yet happened, but you're expecting them. And the conviction of things not seen, what that means is that things are in the realm of the spirit or that happened beforehand. It's by faith you accept those facts. Are you getting my point? All right. So there are two different things. What you are hoping for is what you are expecting. It's not what you are wishing for. For example, the returning of the Lord Jesus is an expectation. All right? It has nothing to do with your desire. You just know that he said he will come again. So faith tells you, indeed, he's going to return. And the conviction of things hoped for, not seen, it means once he was crucified 2,000 years ago, you were not there. They gave you a report and you accepted it. That is faith, all right, operating in your heart. And it says that blessed are those who believe without seeing. Now let's continue reading. In verse 3 it says, verse 2, for by it the men of old gained approval. For by faith, verse 3 says, by faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. Now see how men used faith, which is the reason why I'm reading this. The reason why I'm reading this, please follow me, is to show how men used faith. I'm talking about the pursuit and the use of faith. I'm reading Hebrews chapter 11 for us to see how men used faith. All right? By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous. Verse 5, by faith, Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death, and he was not found because God took him. He said, for he obtained the witness that before he's been taken up, he was pleasing to God. Verse 6 says, and without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and there is a rewarder of those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God. Now, notice verse 7. How men use faith. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Notice what Noah did with faith. What did he do with it? He obeyed God. He prepared an ark to save his family, and he condemned the world in doing that. As a result, he became a righteous man. In verse 8, the Bible tells us what Abraham did with faith. When he was called, Abraham obeyed by going out. Notice that by faith, Abraham obeyed. By going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, still in obedience, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, that they had the same experience, fellow heirs of the same promise. What does that tell you? The land they were in was not particularly comfortable. Abraham left a civilized society with his father, and he progressed on his own until he got to the promised land and began to live in tents. Let me explain what I'm trying to say. Imagine you have a nice house in Enugu here, and then God now said, move to rebuild Sambisa Forest. I hope you get my point. Yeah. After they declared Boko Haram, the whole place is now a parched land. They say, I want people to go and rebuild the place and populate it with righteousness. When you first get there, you get some money, but of course it won't cross your mind that the first thing you need is a Lister generator and a big house. You first build a nice hut. So they will use thatched roof to make sure you are cool in the afternoon, but it's nothing compared to where you are coming from. By faith, you remain there, even though you could have come back home. I hope you're getting my point. That's what Abraham was doing. By faith, he left where he was comfortable to go and rebuild Sambisa Forest. He began to learn new skills because God said, this is what I want you to do. And we are learning here that he did all of that by what? By faith. Faith is not the way by which you get comfort yourself for yourself. That's where I'm going. Faith is a method by which, in quotes now, is a thing that helps you to obey God. Let's continue reading how people use faith. That's what I'm going to teach. Let's continue reading. So, back to 9. By faith he lived as an alien in the land of promise. He said, with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. They had the same experiences. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Please notice the word again, promise. Therefore, there was born of one man, and him as good as dead at that, as many descendants as the stars of the heaven in number, and innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. He said, all these died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance, and having confessed that they were strangers and aliens on the earth. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country. Now notice that again. They are seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, which is a heavenly one. Notice where their desire is. By faith, they were seeking a heavenly country, not an earthly country. Therefore, God, the Bible says, is not ashamed to be called their father, for he has prepared a city for them. Now, back to the functions. Verse 17 says, by faith, when he was tested, Abraham offered up what? Or who? Isaac. That was what he did. And he who had received the promises was offering up his only begotten son. It was he to whom it was said, in Isaac your descendants shall be called. He considered that God is able to raise people from the dead, and from which also he received him back as a type. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau regarding things to come. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Are you getting my point? And the conviction of things that are the realm of the spirit. By faith, therefore, Isaac blessed Jacob. By faith, Jacob, I'm going to try and be quick, blessed each of the sons of Joseph. Verse 22, by faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the Exodus. Verse 23, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents. That is, the parents were operating by faith when they hid Moses. What does that tell you? Let's continue reading. I will look at this. Because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. What does that tell you? They did not keep, when we said he was a beautiful child, have you ever seen a child that's not beautiful, really? All these children are the same. So when they say he was a beautiful child, what they were saying is not that, oh, they had a bouncing baby, but they said this one is too fine to die. No, all the babies were too fine to die. Being a beautiful child is simple. Before the boy was born, an angel visited them and told them of the destiny of the child. It was like the way John the Baptist was born. It was like the way Jesus was born. It was the same thing as when Samson was conceived and he was born. That's what it means when he says that they knew he was a beautiful child. They understood that this child had his particular purpose. The Bible says God has made everything beautiful in his season for his own time. What does that tell you? He said, I've been fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are thy works. That is, I was made for a purpose. When the Bible says things like he was a beautiful child, it means they were aware of the boy's destiny. That's what I was talking about. So when they went to save his life, it was in obedience to a word of an angel. The Bible has more details than we realize. You just need to read it carefully. If you go and listen to our Learning from Moses series, we discuss these things in details there. Now, see what faith did for these parents of Moses. It helped them to walk in the destiny of this child. It helped them to bring to pass the purpose of God for their lives. You see where I'm going? Verse 24, Moses himself. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Let's take a pause. What happened here? This boy was initially raised by his own natural mother. You know that story. So she passed to him, all right, the understanding of what the angel told them when he was conceived, before he was born. He knew he was a boy of purpose. The problem was that he did not know how to execute it, so he went and killed somebody. Are you getting my point? But when by the time he was leaving the place, the palace, all right, the palace of Pharaoh, it was because he understood purpose. It wasn't because he was a glutton for punishment. It wasn't like the guy said, "Let me chop. I've chopped life. Let me chop suffering." That was not the issue. Is that he understood purpose. I was born for such a time as this. I was born to deliver these people. It was just that he missed the method and the timing of God. That was when things went wrong. Please, you see what I'm talking about, the use of faith. Let's continue reading. So you see that he left the palace of Pharaoh, considering the reproach of Christ, verse 26, greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. For he was looking to the reward. Now, the word reward in the Bible, we must learn what it means for us believers. It's not you play lottery and you win a jackpot. That's not reward. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. Did you understand that? Did you understand what I'm saying? All right, did you understand that?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. I want to be sure I'm not here alone. Reward in the Bible does not mean you play lottery and you want a jackpot. That's human reward. Reward in the Bible for believers is this. You are laboring and you will see the fruit of your labor. That's reward. You say, what's the difference? I'll tell you the difference. There's a little boy, assume he's not your son. But one way or the other, your paths crossed and you began to nurse him. It took a lot of effort on your part, but then one day, a boy that was supposed to die, now he's living. Are you getting my point? He was supposed to die, but now he's alive. Then one day, you see he graduated from secondary school. Then he went to university. Then he graduated from university. And you see a young, handsome man who can now live on his own. Whether he personally gives you anything or not, you see the fruit of your labor and you are what? Satisfied. That's what the Bible calls a reward. It is this worldly mentality that when you blow yourself up, you go to heaven. They will now give you a sea of alcohol you'll be drinking. And now give you 70 women to be following you up and down. Those are people. Listen, when you have not yet repented of sin, that's when you call those things reward. I don't know what I get my point. The very desire of our hearts as believers are different. When Jesus was rewarded for his labor, it's not that they now increase him back beyond what he was before. Nothing. What are you going to give somebody more than equality with God? So when he had joy set before him, I will tell you the truth. Now, that one I've understood it. I told you before, that's my best illustration. I don't watch black history films, American black history films. I don't watch it. Have I told you before? Yes, I don't watch it because it's painful. It hurts me. If I watch it too much, I'll shoot a white man. No, I won't even shoot white men. I will shoot black people around me. Why? They were the ones that sold their brothers into slavery. The white man never entered the hinterland to go and bring the slaves. He waited on the coasts. That's how it was. I will shoot a black man. But then when the white man now began to maltreat, you must understand how they treated those slaves. They put them on ships like commodity. If you have not been there, go to the Elmina Castle and the Cape Coast Castle in Ghana, where they used to ship slaves from. And you take a tour of the place. And they'll show you a dungeon where they will keep human beings, men and women, For, listen to this, sometimes up to 3 months at a stretch, they won't come out once. They won't come out to use the bathroom. No light inside there. When we're inside that dungeon that day, as they are talking, they have a way of making it dramatic. They'll just switch off the lights. And it's a dungeon. The whole place comes out black. They said, this is how men endured for 3 months. They waited there for as long as it took the ship to arrive. And when the ships arrived, they laid them lying down next to each other on the many months voyage across the Atlantic. And many died. Maybe up to 1/3 died during the voyage. Or they just did to take the bodies and toss into the ocean. And they'll be back in a few months' time to carry another set of slaves. And when the slaves got to the U.S., they sold them the way you buy meat. Is this one big? Madam, I can't pay for this one. This one only 2 kg now. That's how they touch men and women. The painful one is that if a man is angry, they allow the slaves to have wives, but they could sell off the wife and the children anytime. If master is broke, he looks at a boy and says, this boy, he will fetch me some money. He will take him away from his father and from his mother. It was systematically calculated to destroy their sense of dignity. They said to make the slaves submissive, they whipped the men in front of everybody else. So when you bring a father and beat him to submission while his children are watching, those boys will grow up with an inferiority complex. American blacks have not recovered till today. Go to South Africa. Not a joke. The whites did that thing. Generations of slavery. You see where I'm going? What am I going to say? The Lord looked and it displeased him. So he said, I will do something so that these generations will not be slaves anymore. He sent his only begotten son and he died so that you will not be a slave. That is why, listen to me, never cross the ocean looking for money. You are going to America, it must never be because you are looking for economic prosperity. It's a sign of slavery. You have not been delivered. You see, as we go on what they call faith. By faith, we take a barren ground and make it fertile. Don't claim a visa by faith. You say, oh, this ground is barren. Watch me. That's what faith does. Faith, you say it's barren. You read your scriptures. What did Isaac do? You till the land and speak to the land. Listen, I'm a redeemed child of God. You will yield to me. I am not under a curse. You will yield to me. If I plant in you, I will reap a 100-fold. Not because I'm looking for what to eat, but because I want to show you I've been broken free from under the curse. That is what faith does. All this rubbish faith of claiming guru and claiming Epa. I'm talking about reward. Reward for believers. That was what Jesus was looking for. He saw this heritage of slavery. He said, I will put it to an end. That a man won't stand and they will sell his first son while he's watching and he can't talk. Believe me, I fight personally. Anything that looks like slavery, I will fight it. I told you once I was in Dubai. I was exchanging my flights, so I was sitting somewhere. I don't know whether I was an Arab, whatever. I didn't care who it was, but he made the mistake of calling me like this. So I stood out looking at him. He says he's calling me. I said he's not calling me. You are not calling me. This is the reason why I didn't want to America. I'm putting a flight through your country. You will not call me like this. You stretch your left hand and do like this. My own is not something personal. It's the reason why Nigerians were, when they were queuing, I started residency on 5,000 naira a month in salary. When a 14-inch television was 15,000. So I understood why Nigerians ran abroad. I told people, don't visit me after the second week of the month. I will have nothing to entertain you with. Because at the second week, I was flat broke. And this went on for years. But run to America, I said I will not. Why? I said, I will not kill on Eleke Christian from 2 a.m. I said, I won't do it. So if we go and kill, I said, why? I said, because I've been redeemed. That was my only argument. My only argument was, I have been redeemed. If you are going to give me a visa, there must be decency with it. This one, I won't take. Am I going to preach the gospel?
maybe for the sake of the gospel, we'll take some nonsense. But for sake of food, I am not Issachar. I will not bend my back to bear the burden and become a slave at first labor because of food. I won't do it. I didn't have money too. Don't think I had. My salary in a month was 5. It went up to 6,000. Yet, to buy a television, a 14-inch box of those days, it was 15,000 naira. 3 complete month salary. If you ate from it, your TV is postponed. Then I applied for one visa. My reason was simple. I used to drive my cousin that time when I first got there. We moved around the whole area. I see people, Nigerians, I say, me, queue like this. I say, God, I'm not doing it. The first day I was going to go to an embassy, American embassy. God said, Banky, I will honor those things that you said. By that time, an American has restructured their things. You book online and all of that. I was going to be at the back of a queue that there were no more than 15 people. But God said, no, I won't let you queue. Once it was night, they moved. When they said, okay, when they opened the gate, you could come in. I took my thing slowly and walked there slowly. And naturally, I got to the back of the queue. Then somebody said, I heard two people talking beside me. Have you paid your... They were talking to each other, whether you paid your visa fee. I said, no. On the website, they said you could come with $100. And I had my $100 cash. So one guy said, no. So I left the queue, went to somebody near the gate. Excuse me, I need information. Do I have to pay? Can I pay here? As you said on your website, they said, no, the rules have changed. You have to go to the bank. I said, which bank? They told me. So I left the queue and went to the UBA, took a taxi, quickly get to UBA to pay for the visa, get my receipt and come back. By the time I came back, there was nobody on the queue. That's a story I've told many times. Some of you are tired of hearing it. When it was time for the interview, the lady said, there's no money in your account. I said, yes, because it's my salary account and I've emptied it. She was looking at me like, this is one Nigerian. Listen, I made up my mind I wasn't going to beg anybody. I did not even beg God. It was that morning as I was leaving my hotel room where I stayed in Abuja that I realized I had not prayed 1 second about this whole thing. Finally, I asked her, I said, Lord, sorry, do you know I've not asked you for this? I said, just for the records, I would like to go for this course. It's a 1 month training course in cytopathology. I said, I would like to go. And then I left my hotel room. Why? I said, this is everything. Me? I'm fighting it. Not going to make me sleep. The Lord is good. Now, why am I telling you all these stories? To let you know that the Lord looked, and the Lord Jesus said, let me end slavery. And when slavery, once slavery is ended, he sees the Bible says, go and read that Isaiah chapter 53. He will see the result of his struggle, of his labor, of his sacrifice, and he will be satisfied. He'll be glad. So when the Bible says that Moses, back to verse 26, he considered the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. He had his focus on the reward. There was something he was looking forward to. The Bible says, by faith, he left Egypt. Not because he wanted to preserve his own life. Notice verse 27 very well. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is unseen. That is what took Moses out of Egypt after he killed somebody was not because he was afraid he would be killed. He left because God said, leave. Are you getting my point? Go and listen to our series, Learning from Moses. I discussed those things in details there. Again, verse 28. By faith, he kept the Passover. By faith, in verse 29, they passed through the Red Sea. By faith, verse 30, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the harlot did not perish along with those who were disobedient after she had welcomed the spies in peace. That tells you, faith was obedience. It was when she heard the word that God helped her to obey it. And that's what we call faith. And that's in verse 32. What more shall I say? For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouth of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. From weakness, by faith, they were made strong. They became mighty in war by faith. They put foreign armies to flight. It was by faith. By faith, women, he said in verse 35, received back their dead by resurrection. But some, instead of receiving the dead back, they were tortured, not accepting release. They rather died so that they might obtain a better resurrection. By faith, others experienced mocking, scourging. Please follow what I'm trying to say. Can you see what they did? With faith, all right? Which verse was I in?
36.
By faith, others experienced mockings, scourgings. Yes, also chains and imprisonment. All of this by faith. By faith, they were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tried or tempted. They were put to death with the sword. They went in sheepskins, in goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated. Such men, the Bible says in verse 38, the world was not worthy to have them. They were too good for the world. Wandering in desert and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. All these, the Bible says, gained approval through their faith. Let me just stop here. You read in verse 40, that God provided something better for us. They did not inherit what was promised. They were looking for something that has not yet happened. You know why I read this? For us to know what faith was used for in the Bible. Faith was not used for what many of us use it for now. No. We, by faith, we escape a difficult situation and get to a softer one. And say, my God is good. By faith, we run away from challenges. And say, I began to call it to pass. And it happened the way I said it. Many times our prayers are signs of our carnality and lack of a sense of purpose for life. I notice here, the Bible didn't say that by faith, these men built houses so that everybody would know that they are better than other people. Read through this. As I talk about the purpose, the pursuit, and the use of faith. Let me say it like this. Faith was not given to us to make our lives easy. Faith was not given to us to soften our lives. Faith was given, number one, to obey the call of God, to fulfill the purpose of God, and to activate whatever promise God has put in His word that's your own. That's what I understand what faith is meant to be for. My wife and I were talking yesterday. When the car, we took a drive, finally we got back home, we sat in the car and we're talking scripture. Go and listen to the series of messages I preached. There were two messages. I think School of Prayer time. It was on Tuesday, I preached two messages. Came into a small series of two, titled Prophetic Declarations or Positive Confessions. Go and listen to those messages. Many of the things I said there, maybe I will repeat them again. But please try and get them. I want to explain something. All right, as part of this, my introduction into the subject of the use of faith. I want to distinguish between what I call spiritualism or spiritism, if you might use that expression, and spirituality. Let me explain it again. Because something works is not proof that that's what God wants us to do. Because let's teach real faith. Many of the faiths we teach, we see people talk about or practice. That was not the plan of God. I give this as an example all the time. A man is single, he wants to marry. There's a sister, is that Angela? Is that my name? He meets Sister Angela and he likes her very much. Then in the course of talking, he realizes the problems Angela has in her life. Maybe as a good example, her parents have 8 children. She's number one. The father is ill, though he's alive, but he's not earning money anymore. And she's just managing to graduate from school. Now she has 7 younger ones. And her mother is a low to middle level worker in the state government. Even her federal self, you know, things better. But state, they don't pay regularly. And it says to you,
I like Sister Angela. It's just that she has many responsibilities. Give him a knock on the head and say, my friend, go and increase your faith. That is when we use faith. It is not by faith I will discover the girl that has no responsibilities. It is that by faith I feel called to this girl. Maybe you are rich, fine. But let's assume we are not. Physically speaking, you may not be rich. But spiritually, faith is a currency. Faith is a tangible substance that can be traded in the realm of the spirit. You can say, I love this girl so much. God, you know, God pours love into people. Yeah, he does. He does. According to the story of Derek Prince. The first wife Derek Prince married, the guy was an interesting man. He used to help her around the house because she had a lot of adopted girls in Jerusalem. He was a soldier, a British soldier. Then one day the word of the Lord came to him saying, I have joined you together under the same yoke. So he decided he was going to marry the woman. Let's summarize it. It will strike you when you find out that she was 20 years older than him. By faith, he married her. And years later, when he would tell the story about their marriage, he would still cry because by that time she had died. He was in his 60s when she died in her 80s. 2 years later, when he was going to remarry, he married a woman who was 20 years younger than him. Again, by faith, he married. You know, all these revelations come when God knows that normally this wouldn't happen. Yes. Before you marry a woman 20 years older than you, God has to speak or you decrease. Think about it now. Because if you come to me and say, Pastor Banky, I want to marry you, I say, you are 30. And I introduce your woman you want to marry, she's 51. I will tell her, Mommy, please wait outside. Well, I ask whether this boy's head is correct. It's just, it's not, look, it's just a normal, it's a human, it's a natural thing. And you're wondering that what is wrong with you? Is it, I mean, you start checking whether the woman has money. Are you getting my point? Yeah. But by faith, he obeyed the word of God. 2 years later, when he was going to remarry, that process in his life started again. He met a woman, just, not seriously, anyway, let's make a long story short. Then one day the Lord spoke to him again, supernaturally, that he was going to marry the girl. And the woman, he said, for goodness sake, I don't like her. That is nothing. There's nothing about her that I like. Let me make a long story short. One day she requested to talk to him, and because she had a problem with her back, she wanted to sit on the floor instead of on a chair. She requested to sit on the floor and put her back against the wall while he was sitting on the desk. He said when he turned to look at her, it was the exact picture he had seen earlier, I think in a dream or in a vision. And he said at that moment, it was as if somebody just turned a pitcher of honey and love for her just poured into him. God pours love into people. I hope you're getting the point I'm making here. Faith was not given to us to make our lives easy. Faith was given to us to obey God despite the difficulties. That's why I read all of this. We learn faith to call a car to be instead of trekking. But I said before, the first thing God gives to a child of God, listen to this if you have not heard it before. You say you have been trekking, God, this suffering will be over. As long as you still call it suffering, you shall trek for longer. Until you can trek on the road and jump and shake your leg. And are you getting my point? And feel good and see guys driving past and say, bros, how you there? I'll see you guys later. Let me hurry. It's a long distance to walk. Until you can do it and have no feeling of inferiority, your breakthrough is not close. Because the Bible says, even if you ask God for a car,
Paul said the first thing he gives you is the peace of God that passes understanding. The first thing God gives is that peace, his spiritual substance. If you have not received it, you are not ready for a blessing, you are not ready for a miracle, the outward one, you are not. Faith was not given to us to be gathering worldly possessions. You need faith, first of all, to say, it is written, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses. Let's get that thing clear. I was saying, there's a difference between spiritualism and spiritism. And then, spirituality. There's a difference between, choose the word either spiritism or spiritualism, all right? And spirituality. There's a difference between those things and spirituality. And I want to explain that. I told that my wife and I were discussing. And what were we talking about? Now, you've heard me say this before, and let me say it again. I personally dislike and I disagree with a doctrine that says if you want a car, put a picture of it on the wall. I have practiced it before. Whether it worked or not, I don't know. And I know it works. I'll tell you, let me talk about the fact that it works. A brother gave me a book here once. I will not tell you the name of the book because I do not want to popularize a bad thing. And when he gave me the book, it looked like a spiritual book, and I went through it. And I said, this book is a bunch of nonsense. He gave it to me because he thought it was a good spiritual book that let me bless my pastor. I read through it, I said, this is a bunch of nonsense. Number one, it's not a Christian book. Number two, the whole thing about the book was, whatever you can conceive in your mind, eventually will happen for you outwardly. And it described how you will settle down. For example, there was a woman who wanted to marry, and they told her to conceive the husband, describe him and everything, and it did not work. They now called her and said that she told somebody, I've done everything, but it's not working the way you guys said it will work. And they said, do you make breakfast in the morning for two people? That was the question. And he said, no. So she changed again, and when she wakes up in the morning, she makes breakfast, it will make for two. And after a few weeks, she met one guy. It was the exact picture that she had in mind, and they married. And that's a story inside the book to show you that it works. Was that story true? I don't know. But could it have happened? Yes, most certainly. Is it proof that it was God? No. No. That doesn't mean it was God. Do you know why? It just means, now, life exists in three realms we know. There's a physical realm. Or let's put two realms. There's a physical realm, and then there's a spiritual realm. All right? Let's just take those two realms. There's a reason. Just in the physical realm, there are a lot of laws. There's a law. Okay, let's take physics and chemistry. Many of us did elementary science, at least. You've heard of Boyle's law, Charles's law, Graham's law, Avogadro's law. There are all kinds of laws. There are many laws, and these laws are true whether you are Muslim, Buddhist, Christian, or an atheist. These laws are true. That's why a Christian doctor will give you an ampicillin injection, it will cure a pneumonia. An unbelieving doctor does the same, it cures a pneumonia. Why? They are biological laws. In the same manner, things of the spirit realm, they exist. And God in heaven, let me tell you something about God. There are two ways you look at God. It's the same God, it's just like me now. In fact, you know, yesterday I told my son, pick up something for me at a particular clinic. There was a sample that needed my attention. So I told my colleague, a surgeon, that I'll pick it up when I'm driving past his clinic. So I was driving in the morning, dropping my kids in school. So I told Akindu, go in there. Meet the person there, say that you want to pick something for your daddy. So as he was going, I said, by the way, it is Dr. Olushin or not Pastor Banky. Do you get it? Yes. Everywhere, what's your daddy's name, Pastor Banky? The reflex is Pastor Banky. Because the message will have been left for Dr. Olushin. the pathologist. He's coming. Do you understand? Now, why did I tell the story? Different things I do. The same individual. God is like that too. Two things about him which are most prominent in the scriptures is one, he is judge. Two, he's father. Two totally different jobs. And sometimes you wouldn't believe it's the same person. The way he relates. You see what I'm saying that in a moment. Many of us think that when the devil is coming, God rebukes him. You know, that's how, you know, if the devil came here now, what do? We join hands. Tell him to get out. In the name of Jesus. Out, 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 out. We command you, fly to the bottom. Most of it are fear. We think he wants to scatter our meeting. But you know the way God reacts? If Satan comes in here, he'll say, Odechukwu, tell him to sit at that corner. I don't want any disturbance. That's God's reaction. It doesn't drive him. He'll actually ask him, why are you looking? What are you looking for here? That's how God reacts. Satan, why are you coming? What are you doing here? He'll say, one of my friends came for Bible study. I'm waiting for him. It's a matter of fact. The Lord doesn't, don't come near my presence. Look at you. No. Yes, okay. Since you are not interested in the study, sit outside. He doesn't cross the Lord's mind that Satan will disturb our meeting. Yes. We are the ones that think he can disturb. How do I know? Read the scriptures. The sons of God came to present themselves, and Satan came in their midst also. And the Lord said, from where have you come? And he answered. And they had a conversation, and they gave him an assignment. No quarrel. Why am I saying this? If Satan can go to the presence of God and demand justice for something, which is what he does as an accuser of the brethren. Jesus said, Simon, Simon, Satan has desired, actually demanded, to sift you all like wheat. I didn't tell him he cannot. So I turned to God the Father and I made petitions for you. Why didn't he rebuke Satan? I'll tell you, he can't. Because if you enter a court of law and you are a defense witness, you can't come to court and drive away the prosecution. Sorry, you are a defense lawyer. You cannot come to court and drive away the prosecution lawyer. You have to come with your defense. Each individual faces the judge. So Jesus said, I have prayed for you that your faith will not fail. Because what Satan wanted to do was to steal their faith, to scatter them. I'm not analyzing that in details. I just want to explain the principle. So that's how it is. So if Satan comes to the presence of God and makes petitions, God is compelled by his law to listen. So when Satan comes and says, this man must die, because Satan cannot kill except God approves. Many faith teachers don't believe that, but it is the word of God. It doesn't sound nice. The reason why they don't understand it, the problem is that they don't understand that God, the judge, is different from God, the Father. The same person, but when they are walking, everything in life has to be the judgment of God. I keep on giving this as an example because it is extreme. But once you can grab that, every other thing is easy to stomach. Hitler could not have killed 6 million Jews and minorities if God did not sign the death warrant. Was it his will? No. His will is that none should perish. But there are laws in place. So Satan comes to the presence of God and makes arguments, petitions, demands based on those laws. That's why I keep on warning Christians. When you want to live your life, leave it covered by the blood of Jesus. Which means you must get away from where Satan can accuse you to where he can't. And how do you do that? Everything in life, you plead the mercy that's found in the blood of Jesus, and you never plead your good works. If you say, I have given, prosper me, that you are falling into Satan's traps. Because you are now on the argument level. You have to step to a realm where Satan gets confused. What is that realm? The realm where everything you get is based upon what Jesus did, not what you did. You must learn to walk in that realm. You must. Now, there's no way I'm saying all of these things. So you see that God is fair. He's fair even to the devil. How much more to unbelievers? What you and I call juju priests, babalawo, dibias, they are nothing but people who have left learning only physical things, but they've learned to operate spiritual laws. They walk with Satan. He teaches them. When a man, if you want to kill a man, you offer this kind of sacrifice and you bring up accusations against him. And don't worry, my demons will walk with you and will present accusations and he will die. They know how to do it. In the same manner, there are spiritual laws, because everything that's physical is first of all in the realm of the spirit. People also learn it. And they learn to close their eyes and imagine things. And after a while, they imagine something, they burst it on the earth, and God can't stop them. Open your Bibles. I prove that. Genesis chapter 11. The book of Genesis chapter 11. I am going to read from New Living Translation because it says something in a way that brings my message home very clearly. From verse 1, the Bible says, At one time, all the people of the world spoke the same language and used the same words. As the people migrated to the east, they found a plain in the land of Babylonia and settled there. They began saying to each other, "Let's make bricks and harden them with fire." In this region, bricks were used instead of stone, and tar was used for mortar. Then they said, now listen to verse 4. Then they said, "Come, let's build a great city for ourselves with a tower that reaches into the sky. This will make us famous and keep us from being scattered all over the world." Now, the next verses tell us clearly that God didn't like this idea. Look at verse 5. "But the Lord came down to look at the city and the tower the people were building. Look," he said, "the people are united and they all speak the same language. After this, nothing they set out to do will be impossible for them. Come, let's go down and confuse the people with different languages. Then they won't be able to understand each other." Let's stop here. Did you notice what God said? If the people speak the same language and they are united, nothing they want to do, even if I don't like it, there's nothing they want to do they will not succeed in doing. Clearly, he doesn't like the idea. It is not as if we build the city if God's will is in it. If we built it, it means God wanted us to build it. Lie. There are many things that have been built. There are ministries built. There are businesses built. There are things built. And God said, "No, I don't like that idea." But they used the right spiritual principles, so they got it done. That is why I'd be very careful when somebody is teaching spiritual principles. That's why the Bible emphasized that the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God as believers. If we don't pass it through God, we will accomplish a lot of things that displease him. And listen to this. You accomplished it does not mean you get away with it. If it has evil attached to it, it's yours 100%. For example, you can build a great business and spiritual power is interchangeable. For you to be able to build it, let's forget business, ministry. For you to be able to build it, you will have dug into the spiritual power that should have kept you healthy. Like money now. Assuming that you earn, like, let's just say 100K every month, you have savings of like 1.5 million, and you decide to buy a house that's 17 million. Your savings, loan, you collected. At the end of the month, the bank collects their portion. The cooperative in your office collects their portion. Your friends collect their portion of your 100K. Only 500 naira is remaining for you at the end of the month. You not die of starvation the month before you pack in. Did you succeed in building the house? Yes. Did he bless you? No. The Bible says that they made demands of God in the wilderness. He gave them their demands, what they asked for, but then sent troubles into their soul with it. It wasn't like he was angry, but that demand had problems attached. That's why the Bible had to emphasize for us, it is the blessing of God that makes rich without bringing any sorrow with it. People can get things in their lives, sorrow follows it. That is why it is not only Christians that build the biggest businesses. You bow to the devil, you will rule the world. Did you hear what I said?
Yes.
You bow to Satan, you rule the earth. Jesus said, bow to me, I will give you all these kingdoms. Not be today. I'm telling Christians to be careful. That is why I tell you categorically, throw away any picture you have drawn on the wall that you look at every day, trying to bring it to reality. You are building a tower in Babel. Yes, you have testimonies, but they all build towers. Yes, this man did it. It doesn't mean it was God. These are spiritual principles. My wife asked me yesterday, so how do we do the one that is God? After all, we have learned, confess, say it, focus on it, look at it, imagine it. Those things are not scripture. They are not Christian, I wanted to say. They are just spiritual. They are the realm of the spirit, but not necessarily Christian. He said, what do you do as a believer? I said, let your request be made known unto God. What do you confess? Confess only that which is written. For example, he says, you need money. Say, okay, I confess. Somebody will buy goods of 1 million from me. Another person will buy of 2 million. I will make a profit of 300,000. It is not God. That's not Christian. That's spiritual activity. It can get results. Who says he won't? Babel people got their results. What should a Christian do? Father God, according to your word, I will prosper. You said you will cause prosperity to flow towards me like a river and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. He said, Lord, in the name of Jesus, you make grace abound towards me. I have all sufficiency in all things. I abound to every good work. I have not mentioned any sum. When I want to mention sums of money, I direct it to God. Lord, I have to have 5.5 million naira to do this. And Paul said, the peace of God that passes all understanding comes to me. I don't confess every morning, I have 5.5 million. I call it to be. People are calling me. They are bringing it in. No, that's not Christian confession. Christian confession is this. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Lord, I purge my ways. What is the unuprightness in me? You know why? Sometimes you think you need 5.5 million. God said you don't need a dime. Sometimes you think you need 5.5 million. Yeah, you need 17 million. And listen to me. God thinks. No, God doesn't even have to think. Forget it. He can think, but doesn't have to. The word thinks. The Bible says the word of God is alive and active. What does that mean? When I come to God and I say, my business needs 5.5 million to go, I cast my burden upon you. When I wake up in the morning, I am not confessing 5.5 million. I am confessing God's word, which says my life is in his hands. The days of my life were prepared by him. I'm walking in that destiny. Are you getting my point? I'm describing what God says, like my favorite scripture. Later I'm going to talk about it. When God gives you a rod, you lift that rod up. If I have needs today, I have one rod I lift up. It's Isaiah chapter 66 verse 12. Behold, I make prosperity flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. I don't mention money. Because to solve a problem, God can send favor. I cannot lock my spiritual energy on the money. You can finish praying that God, in the name of Jesus, this company, as I'm speaking, they will employ me. They will employ me. I will be this. Next day, you buy a newspaper, they are folded up. 6 months of active confession, gone down the drain. Many people sold seeds to work in, what they call it, what the name of that bank that became Access? Access. People were sowing seeds to work in Intercontinental. They were giving first fruit, second fruit, third fruit to be promoted in Oceanic Bank. Meanwhile, God was appointing Sanusi to liquidate the banks. God said, Sanusi, this is the word of God. Close those banks. I have aught against them. People say, is it not? They are closing our banks. Stop talking like an idiot. No bank can be closed in Nigeria until God signs the decree. Listen, when God wants to punish his own children, he disciplines them with the rust of the uncircumcised. He tells the uncircumcised man, flog my child for me. Flog him, I will flog you back, but meanwhile, just the flogger. Faith is not used to get what we want. Faith is used to get us subjected to the will of God, to the call of God for our lives. We use faith to tap into his promises. Faith, like I was saying earlier, I found from the scriptures that slavery was ended by Christ. So anytime I see what looks like slavery, I fight it with the word. It's not my desire. That is, I would rather die a free man, hungry, than to be bound to any human system, bound to any human being, and prosperous. You may say you are not wise. For me, it's the word of God. It's not about me. It's about God's word. I'm saying to you, Christ has redeemed me. You can't put me in bondage. There are things I believe God for. Sometimes I tell people, I'm going to live to be very old. They say, what is in this life? I say, it's not about this life. It is about, I've read the scriptures and I've seen my brethren misinterpret God. They say, God's plan is that you live to be 70 years. It's not anywhere in your Bible. I don't care who quotes it, they quoted it wrongly. Moses was the only person that made that statement. And he said, you have brought our iniquities into the light of your countenance. Why have you refused to forgive us? Now look at this, we are now dying like chickens. 70 years, we are all dead. The few strong ones amongst us live to be 80. The Moses who wrote that psalm lived to be 120 years. So he could not have been saying, the promise of God is to live to be 70. He could not have been saying that. There are things sometimes I pray to God for. I say, Lord, I don't need it to, but I just want you to do it. Then we will waste it. He said, what do you mean? Let me explain. God gave Peter a draught of fish and then said, come, let's go and preach. Forget fishing. There are things God will just do just to make a point. You're a businessman. You say, God, I don't need a billion, but I want to show that I can make it. After making the billion, you share it to pieces. Go back to your old Camry. 16 years old. You are driving it. Say, when did you buy a new car? I just wanted to prove that it's doable. I don't know what I get my point. I didn't need it. I just said, let's do this. Let's show. It's called claiming the promises. Like I said earlier, it's not that by faith we run away from where the ground is hard to where the ground is soft. No. We say by faith. This ground you think you are hard. All right? I came here by divine covenant. So we'll see who is hard. Whether it is you or it is me. I told you those days when we used to pray, when I came to Enugu, criminals everywhere, armed robbers. They said, don't buy a V-boot. Thieves like it. I said, me too, I like it. It makes two of us. Let us now see who will enjoy it. Whether it is a criminal or the man sent by God to this city. So when I used to pray, my prayer used to be this. All you armed robbers, you were not ordained by God to be here. I was ordained by God to be here. You will die, I will live. No, Mr. Adivexo. I'm just clarifying facts. I was sent for a reason. It does not include dying in the hands of an armed robber. I said, so you, robbers, you will die. And I will live. But just claiming promises. No personal quarrels, nothing special. I mean, nothing personal. What faith does is not saying, look, by faith I run away from a difficult land. No, by faith, I will make sure the land is productive. With faith, I break the difficulty in the land. If they say, fuel is scarce, is the reason why business is not doing well, it becomes the prayer point. I don't start amplifying the rubbish in town. Christians were not born to be commentators. We don't comment on the present, we prophesy the future. Are you getting my point? We tell the, look, this present, we don't like you. We will prophesy until you conform to the plan of God. That's what faith does. Forget exercising faith or trying to get trivial things. Some people are so locked on their needs, God does not want to meet it. He said, you won't move forward in life until I give you a car. You won't move forward in life until I give you a child. You won't move forward in life until I give you a television. You won't... Meanwhile, if you were moving forward by faith, I would have added these things to you without you thinking about them. Every prayer conference to solve a material problem, you are there praying. There are prayer meetings you will go for, God will beat you. Where are you coming from? I went to pray. About what? I felt that as a man, I should have a house of my own at this time. So, you know, all this sowing of seed, that is why God has not stopped it. He uses it to collect money you do and not use it for serious things. I said, God always collects his money. God, he always collects his money. You can't, that money, you can't take it away. He will collect it back one way or the other. If you are using that thing to pursue purpose, no sweet-talking pastor will have collected it from you. See, people tell you that you are sowing the seed. It carry your children's school fees, sow it. Because you want to buy a car. He said, you know, that's how people are stealing. A man in this town carried his brother traveled. Imagine that I'm not around now. And I left, of course, I traveled. My car is at home. Now I shame can't go for a crusade. Now I say, if whatever you give to God today, he will multiply by tomorrow. Ah! And the guy see my care up to him and say, if there are two, when bros comes back, he no go complain. This guy drove his brother's car to crusade though. He gave them the key. When the brother came back, I said, I left a car here. Ah, I said, you should just wait, you soon come back. I and the lad will return. True story, I'm not joking. In Enugu here. So the guy who was telling my friend, one of our colleagues, he said his own problem is not even his brother that went and gave out his car. It's a pastor that collected the car with that particular son. What am I saying? That is when our faith is wrongly directed. That's when we start falling prey for all those kind of things. If we're using faith for what God said we should use it for, not abusing it, not exercising the faith so that we can eat better, drive better, live better. You saw what we read there. I just read all of this before I go back to what we read earlier to show us that the fact that somebody says it gets results, that's not the issue. What result is your faith getting? Some people prayed in the wilderness. They were aggressive so much in their prayer. So aggressive was their prayer, God had to give them what they asked for. But the Bible, let me just read from New Living Translation again, which is very interesting. Psalm 106. I want to just read the way it says it here. After they believed his promises and all of that, and they sang his praise, verse 13, New Living Translation says, yet how quickly they forgot what he had done. They wouldn't wait for his counsel. In the wilderness, their desires ran wild. Testing God's patience in that dry wasteland. Notice verse 15. So he gave them what they asked for, but he sent a plague along with it. Did you notice that? Sometimes we claim we are collecting something from God by faith. But God said, they harassed me until I released it. And like I said earlier, if you force something out of the hand of God, it does not come with a blessing. If a curse is attached to it, God gives it to the fellow, everything complete, does not remove anything from it. What do we do with our faith? Let me begin to round off. We use our faith to discover the will of God for our lives. That's what faith is for. We saw Jesus went to the garden to pray. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. I told a story earlier about men who married by faith. We read through the scriptures. These people were not saying that by faith I claim what I want. By faith they discovered purpose. And they began to pursue that purpose with aggression. Abraham left a land that was comfortable. He moved to a land that was not comfortable, but he was convinced this was the purpose of God. So by faith, he endured the troubles. Sometimes, you know, I told you before, I used to argue with people. Talking about the state of our country as an example. Oh, country is good, country is bad, country is good, country is bad. I used to wonder why they didn't see what I saw. Until I realized that your faith gives you vision. I don't know whether you get my point. Yeah, it does. But what was that faith for initially? The basic thing about faith is that I don't move around like Issachar. No, I don't move around like Issachar, looking for where the land is green and the resting place is pleasant. No, I say Abraham was in a comfortable land. God said, I'm going to make you a pioneer of a heavenly city. When he got there, it was not comfortable. You can imagine he's moving up and down, packing and moving, packing and moving. It wasn't comfortable, but he said, this is what my life is about. So much when he wanted to get a wife for Isaac, Eliezer of Damascus said, if the woman will not agree to follow me, he says, swear that you will not take my son back to the land I departed from. Why was he in that land? He said, this is the call and the purpose of God for me. That's what we'll do with our faith. That's my teaching for today. I think I'm done. I've made my point. The use that we'll put faith to. If God has given a word, by faith, we activate it in our lives. You remember my favorite scripture for explaining that? The Bible says, children are the heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is a reward. What did I say? Don't explain away the scripture. He said, but the economy is hard. You will read that scripture until prosperity will come into your house by force. You are getting my point? When the Bible says, I can do all things, it means I can do all things. Paul, when he was applying it, he applied it for people, for himself, in that he was trying to explain that even when situations are hard, I don't abandon my calling. No matter how tough things are, I remain what I am. He said, I've learned to be independent of circumstances. And he said, as a result, he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let us pray. I think I've spoken enough. Speaking longer than this, we'll be still talking when the Holy Spirit has kept quiet. You remember that story? There's a samurai went to preach. After preaching, he came down and told me, Smith Ugusor, how did I do? Ugusor looked at him and said, you did very well, but you should have shut up 45 minutes ago when the Holy Spirit stopped talking. And the Holy Spirit has stopped talking now. What is in Abanki? Let my people pray. Bow down your heads, let us pray. He said to the Lord, it's about sanctifying my faith. That's what I want to do today. And that's what I'm encouraging everybody. Say, Lord, sanctify my faith for me. Begin to pray. Dedicate yourself. Say, Lord, these are the things I want to do with my faith. Begin to pray. Everybody rise up. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let us pray. Let's rise to our feet. These are the things my faith is supposed to do for me. One, to discover the will of God for my life. To discover the purpose, the plan of God for my life. And then my faith will help me obey God as I fulfill it. Begin to declare. Say, Lord, this is my faith. I declare again. I repent of every other thing that I have used faith for. There are those who resigned jobs. And they were effective there. And they were blessing the company. They were transforming lives. That was the evangelism post. Then they gave them a job where the pay was better. And that was the end of it. Ministry has closed since. They left by unbelief. If you're like that, time to repent. God may not take you back to that place, but he has another job for you. He has something else he wants you to do. But first of all, you must realize, yes, I prayed and I fasted and I sowed the seed to get that new job. You've seen from the scriptures, you can harass God enough until he gives you what he doesn't want you to have. That's what faith is for. Repent. Some people are in Enugu today. They came here by unbelief. And they thought it was faith. Somebody listening to it from the United States. God said, you are there by unbelief, not by faith. Today is the day of repentance. Say, Lord, I repent. Talking about the use of faith. Say, Lord, I use my faith wrongly. Some people bought a car wrongly. I'm telling you. They thought they bought by faith. God said, no, you bought by unbelief. I was saying to you earlier, the word of God can think. It can give you what you did not plan for. When you focus too much on something, a material thing, you are buying by unbelief. You're not buying by faith. Today's a day of repentance. The day of sanctification of faith. Many have been learning faith so that they can get money. God said, no, you learn faith so you can get purpose. So you can walk in purpose. So you can do that which God called you to do. Today, declare to yourself, say, my faith from now is used to activate the promises of God. From now, my faith is used to activate the will of God for my life. My faith is used to overcome difficult circumstances so that I can abide in the place where God wants me to be. Begin to give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, we thank you. Father, we give you thanks. In the name of Jesus Christ. Our Father, we thank you for the truth, the liberating truth that we have heard again today. Thank you for it. Every single one of us will dedicate ourselves to you again today. Our faith will be like that of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We say, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Nevertheless, not where I want to live, but where you want me to live. Nevertheless, my name is Abraham. I have left all of the Chaldeans. Now I am in that promised land. It's not fruitful yet. But with faith, we will bring fruit into it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Father, we give you thanks. In Jesus' name we have prayed.
Amen.
Amen.